time.
Time is now!
Driven by Briggs Auto Lane.
Let's have some fun. Let's go!
And BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Welcome back into the game. Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner with you for the second hour of today's show. John has another obligation that he is headed off to. We will have Jordan Floyd, a taped interview with John. He was drafted by the Kansas City Royals over the past few days. But first, I was a little bit concerned about what all we were going to be totally honest with you, what all we were going to fill the second hour with talking about today. That is no longer a concern, and Mitch, I need you to kill the music and give us the breaking news sounder.
Breaking news.
Kansas State has dismissed Isaiah Maurice from the basketball team, the men's basketball team, that coming down here in the last 10 minutes. And a very, very confusing development here with K-State men's basketball, with Maurice being a guy that showed a lot of promise toward the end of last season. Again, we are just getting this news. We're going to have to get more developments on this. But he had shown a lot of promise down the stretch of last season. He averaged 7.2 points per game over the last five games of the regular season, and was a guy that K-State was absolutely counting on making some big strides from his freshman to his sophomore season if K-State was going to go back to the NCAA tournament for a second straight year when the season comes around. Isaiah Maurice was recently in Europe for the Athletes in Action team, participated in some games and some camps over there. We had Bruce Weber on the show. It was actually 2 weeks ago today. We had Bruce Weber on the show, and he complimented Maurice's development and told us about his trip overseas that he was doing with Athletes in Action. But according to this release, a violation of team rules means that Isaiah Maurice is no longer with K-State's basketball program. Maurice was with was suspended from the Wildcats team in the non-conference portion of last season, missed the Colorado State game, a couple other games. We had talked about over the course of the year that we thought that that may have stunted his growth, and maybe had he not been suspended at that time, he could have blossomed a little bit sooner and helped K-State a little bit more during the conference season, but that was not the case as he was suspended. So he had had some issues with the team before, but now he is off the team, according to K-State. And I do think that that is a pretty sizable hit to K-State's front court going into next year, because now all of a sudden you're counting on James Love probably having to give you quite a bit of contribution, despite the fact that he has not seen the court in any actual in-game action, you know, in his career. So it's going to be tough for K-State, and so we are just getting this. We're going to have to dig into it a little bit more and break it down and try to get more information if we can. But this just breaking over the last 10 minutes that Isaiah Maurice, no longer part of K-State's men's basketball program.
Just always happens, doesn't it? It seems like the basketball team, you know, creates itself a little bit of momentum, and then something drags it back down. I'm sure there's a great reason why he's has been kicked off the team. We don't know exactly what that is about, what that's all about yet, but K-State just got a little bit younger. Just a little bit younger.
Well, and it had been a relatively quiet offseason for K-State men's basketball, which had not exactly been the standard with Bruce Weber. Of course, the Max Exodus back after the 2014 season. I believe this makes 10 players that have either transferred or been kicked off the team since Bruce Weber was made the head coach 6 seasons ago. That's not a great number, but again, I think that this it will probably not gain a lot of attention on the national scale, because if you just look at his bio on ESPN or whatever, he averaged 3 points per game and 2 rebounds a game last year for the entire season. But the story goes a lot deeper than that. The games he was suspended for, Colorado State, Gardner-Webb, and then the Big 12 opener against Texas, those games in late December. But after that, he played a lot better, particularly, like I said, down the stretch of the season, scored 11 points against Oklahoma on February 25th. That was kind of the low point of K-State's season overall. Then they were able to rally from there to get to the NCAA tournament. He scored 6 points against TCU, 7 points against Texas Tech, 8 points against number 9 Baylor in a victory against the Bears on March 9th. So not good, and K-State will have to find another way to go through the season with its very limited front court experience and depth. They still, as we know, have some very talented players in Dean Wade, Kamau Stokes, Barry Brown, Xavier Sneed. Those are your big four right there. But can those four basically be all by themselves in leading you to the NCAA tournament? I don't know. It's a really tough ask because you do not have any bulk. You do not have any girth in the middle. They were hoping that Isaiah Maurice could do a little bit of that for him, even though, of course, he's not going to be like a rim protector like DJ Johnson and going out and get, you know, 6 or 8 boards a game, but not a good development. It's hard to dig into this too much, and I know that this isn't great radio. It's just that I'm having to react to this basically as I'm seeing it for the first time, and all I can really say is that it's concerning how this trend has continued to develop for K-State basketball, and of all the players that you could pick to have kicked off the team, he's not one that you would have chosen because of the fact that K-State needs his size so badly right now going into next year.
It's very disappointing. Learn from your mistakes the first time. That's all I can really feel right now.
We'll see. It's not news that I really saw coming because, again, like I mentioned, we had Bruce Weber on 2 weeks ago today. He mentioned Isaiah Maurice. He talked about his development and his importance going into next year. So we're going to table that for now. We will continue to develop or give you updated developments on that as we get them, and Mitch can have them in the sports updates throughout the hour. Also, we're continuing to monitor the weather situation, not sports related, of course, but a severe thunderstorm warning for really the western portion of the KMAN listening area, not involving Manhattan at this moment, but those storms are continuing to move in our direction, so we may have some severe weather impacting Manhattan and actually inside city limits by the time we get to the top of the next hour. We were talking late in hour one about the Conor McGregor-Floyd Mayweather fight, and I just wanted to add in a little point to make on that as well before we move on with the show. But one of the biggest pet peeves that I have with this fight, and I've already hated how much coverage it's gotten, how many people are talking about it. I don't think that it's really that great for the sport of boxing. I've shared on the show before my feelings about Floyd Mayweather in general, a guy that has been accused and has been found guilty of battering multiple women over the course of his career. He just is not a good guy, plain and simple. But the big pet peeve that I have here is people talking about Conor McGregor boxing as if it's a totally different sport. And I know that anyone who is actually deeply involved with boxing is probably saying, well, it is a completely different sport. It is to a certain extent. Again, he's coming from UFC, from MMA. There's definitely a big difference there, but it's not like it's, well, I heard one person say on ESPN radio today, it's like if you had the Golden State Warriors played the Denver Broncos in football. It's not like that. It's, to me, the comparison that I was thinking for it is like if you took a championship bass fisherman and put him in a catfishing contest. It's different. It takes a different skill set, but a lot of the basic knowledge is going to be the same in terms of strategy, in terms of execution. I think that people are giving Floyd Mayweather a pass for saying that he's trying to do something that he's never done before, when in reality it's more closely related than that. So that's just one thought that I have from this fight, but I'm already tired of how much conversation it's gotten, and hopefully we can get this over with pretty soon and move on.
Mayweather will school McGregor. End of discussion.
I saw Max Kellerman, ESPN guy, took over for Skip Bayless on First Take, said that he doesn't think that Conor McGregor will land one punch, one single punch on Floyd Mayweather in that fight.
Well, he used to be a broadcaster mm-hmm. for HBO for their boxing.
Yeah, he was. He's got a lot more knowledge than me, but it's a 12-round fight, so unless Mayweather is knocking him out, I highly doubt that McGregor will not be able to land any punches. I will be rooting for him, by the way. He's a jerk, but I will take him over Mayweather. It's kind of the lesser of two evils there. That's about all that I have as far as the fight is concerned. The big breaking news from the last 20 minutes, Isaiah Maurice, K-State forward slash center, dismissed from the men's basketball team for a violation of team rules. Coming up later in this hour, we are going to hear from Jordan Floyd, K-State baseball player who was drafted a couple days ago by the Royals in the 10th round, number 300 overall pick. John had a chance to chat with him earlier today, and you'll hear that conversation in the next segment. Plus, later in the hour, one of the great commercials that I've heard recently. This is a really good Foot Locker ad that I'm going to play the audio from, even though it's about a topic that I hate, and we've talked about that a little bit before too, the Lonzo Ball, LeVar Ball obsession. It's really good audio. You're going to want to stick around for 5:40. We'll also finish off the show with You Can't Be Serious at 5:50. So again, a lot going on today. We got the severe weather. We're following that for you. New information with Isaiah Maurice being dismissed from the basketball team. We'll just tap dance our way through this hour, and we'll continue it next here on News Radio KMIN. It was just a nice, calm, pleasant day, and then John has to miss the second hour, and everything goes in the garbage.
It was a strategic bail on the show.
It was good timing. Good timing for him. We're back on the game. Tyler Dreiling, Mitch Fordner with you until 6 o'clock.
Can't even tell me what he's going to do. Is he like going to plan his birthday 2 months in advance or something?
Yeah, that's probably it. There you go. He's trying to book a venue, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, continuing to follow the weather situation, make sure you keep it right here on KMAN. Also, other breaking news this afternoon, Isaiah Maurice dismissed from K-State's men's basketball team for a violation of team rules. We do have a quote from Bruce Weber on this that came out with the release. Weber says, quote, "There are standards of conduct required to be a member of our program, and there are consequences when those standards aren't met. Isaiah did not meet his responsibilities, and unfortunately, this is the result." So that is a quote from Bruce Weber on the dismissal of Isaiah Maurice. K-State is really, really thin with the front court going into next season. We'll continue to talk about this, I think, for the next couple of days. For sure tomorrow, when John's back on the show, we'll break this down a little bit more. For right now, and I do want to throw this in as well before we get into Jordan Floyd, a piece of good news for K-State today, but I want to throw this in. I am hearing that Manhattan Parks and Rec baseball and softball games, youth baseball and softball games, have been either canceled or postponed for tonight.
It's a bummer for you, man.
It is.
That's your third game
I know,
to coach.
I know. I did pick up my first win as a coach on Monday night. My team had a walk-off. It was nice. And we will not have a chance to make it two in a row this week. So that's what I am hearing from Parks and Rec. So just getting that announcement out there as well. All right. Jordan Floyd, relief pitcher for K-State, did a really nice job as K-State's closer over the course of his career. He was drafted a couple days ago in the Major League Baseball draft by the Kansas City Royals, 10th round, number 300 overall. John had a chance to chat with him recently about that whole experience and what's coming next for Jordan Floyd. Here is that conversation.
Talking now with K-State reliever Jordan Floyd, who was drafted in the 10th round by the Kansas City Royals, pick number 300 overall, a Topeka kid who played 4 years at K-State and now leaves as the Wildcats' all-time appearances leader. Jordan, appreciate the time and joining me here. I'm sure things have been a whirlwind the last 24 hours or so, but how's it feel right now taking all this in?
It's amazing. It's something that I couldn't have ever dreamed of happening. It's the perfect storm that could have happened to me.
And what was it like fielding that phone call from the Royals when you found out you were getting drafted?
I couldn't believe it. I didn't really think that the Royals were really interested in me as much as some other teams that early in the draft, and I got a call from their scouting director in the 9th round and asked if I wanted to come play for my favorite team in the MLB, and And I said, of course.
Yeah, when you mentioned being drafted in the 10th round, is that around where you were expecting to go? I guess what were your expectations going into the draft?
I had been told 7th to 10th round, but, I mean, you can't really believe what you hear because you never know what's going to happen on draft day and what's going to happen with other players and other teams. So it's a guess, but you just can't take it until you hear your name called across the board.
Talking with former K-State reliever Jordan Floyd, now part of the Kansas City Royals organization. Do you have a favorite Royal growing up? Like, who do you remember watching the most?
I remember I used to always love watching Mark Tien play. He just played almost every position. He did whatever he needed for the team to be good and to win. And so that was who I loved growing up with the playing for the Royals.
Now, there you go. Not a pitcher? No pitchers?
No, I mean, growing up, I really wasn't big of a pitcher. I felt like I was a position player, and then get to high school, and I found out, hey, I'm not bad at this pitching thing, so kind of just took it and ran with it.
I like that. Talking with Jordan Floyd, 25th round draft pick coming out of high school by the New York Yankees. What was that process like compared to what it's been like now for you?
It was completely different. I knew out of high school that I wasn't ready for pro ball and wasn't ready for that yet, and knew that I wanted to go to college, knew I wanted to go to Kansas State, and this time I knew it was the exact opposite. I knew I was ready for pro ball. I knew I was mature enough to go out there and play with some of the best players in the nation.
So did you come very close at all to signing with the Yankees out of high school?
No, not really. I had told everybody the couple weeks leading up to it that I was already on campus and I was excited to be a Wildcat. And so they took me and they took a shot, but I wasn't really that interested in signing. I mean, it's a great team, great scout. Got to know him really well, but the timing just wasn't right for me.
What do you feel like you gained the most by going to school, whether it be just with your game, maturity-wise, what really helped you out the most coming to school for 4 years?
I think my mentality and my maturity both grew way more than I ever would have expected it to. I came into college being a thrower, more or less than a pitcher, and with the help of Reynolds and TK through my 4 years, I've become more of a full pitcher and knowing how to pitch to different teams or different hitters or different situations. So, and that helped me be able to throw at any point of the game, whether it's the start, middle, relief, or late in the game. So,
Jordan Floyd chatting with me here, and you are K-State's all-time appearances leader with 91, which is a crazy number to look at. You have a favorite appearance? What stands out to you when you look back on your career?
My favorite appearance, it would have to be probably my last outing I had against Baylor, my last career appearance as a Wildcat coming in, and it not being used to throwing multiple innings very much this year and knowing that our lives were on the line and we had to get the win, and it was kind of a back and forth game, and coming in and throwing the last three innings and just all that happened, the last two innings getting run over at first base and my hand stepped on and not really being able to feel my hand and really have the full confidence in pitching and being able to find a way to compete and get through it is going to stick with me for a while.
You know, one thing I will always remember you by from your time at K-State is that hoodie that you always wore with the sleeves halfway cut off. What's the backstory behind that?
That was just something me and Nate Grief did. There was a day, it was sunny, it was nice, and we're wearing our sweatshirts, and it got kind of hot, and so Grief just went in and cut his sleeves off, and I was like, all right, I might go do that too, and so we both did it, and it just kind of became our thing, and just kind of something that it was in our routine, kind of like a ritual, and it was just go to the field, get changed, and throw your sweatshirt on, and head out to the field and get ready to go.
Now, will that continue during your minor league baseball career? Are you going to find a way to keep that going?
I don't know. I'll have to figure out and see what will happen with all that.
Jordan Floyd talking with me here. As you leave K-State, where do you feel like the program is at and the program is headed in the coming years?
It's definitely heading the right direction. After winning the Big 12 in 2013 and then having the year 14 that we had and having a bunch of guys leave and then trying to bring the program back from where it is, we're definitely heading in the right direction. I mean, we got the right tools here. Coach Hill's got a great recruiting class coming in this year, along with the returning guys like Casey and Will and Cam and McKay and all those guys coming back. They're going to be key pieces to K-State's success the next couple, 3 years. So
I'm glad you brought up Casey because to me there seems to be some similarities there. You guys are both big dudes who can throw hard. What do you think the ceiling is for him at K-State?
Oh, it's limitless. It's whatever he wants it to be. He, I talked to him yesterday, and I said that he congratulated me, and I said, well, I'm going to be expecting to hear your name in 2 years after your junior year, because I don't think I've met a harder working guy than that guy, and he is 100% team guy. He'll do whatever it needs to be done for the team, and he'll take team victories and team accolades over any personal success. And so whatever he can do for the team is what he's going to do. And I think that's a great quality that is going to stick with him for a long ways and carry him a long ways.
Joined right now by Jordan Floyd. I know you have signed with the Royals, still waiting to hear officially where you're going to be at first. But after signing the contract, do you treat yourself? What's the first thing that you're going to buy?
I don't know if I'm going to buy anything yet. I got some student loans I need to get taken care of first, so I need to get back in front of all of that so I don't have debt I have to be paying for a while.
Very good. Well, it sounds like you got a good head on your shoulders, Jordan. I appreciate the time and joining me, man. Hey, best of luck as you move forward in your Major League Baseball career. It's been fun watching you
here
at K-State.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
That is Jordan Floyd, who was drafted in the 10th round by the Royals in the MLB draft a couple of days ago. He was one of four Wildcats that was ultimately taken in the draft. Jake Scudder, who of course came very close to breaking K-State's single season home run record. He was a great power hitter for K-State this year. He went in the 16th round, Parker Rigler in the 31st round, and Josh Rolette in the 39th round. All of those guys were selected on the final day. That was yesterday. Scudder was selected by the Washington Nationals with pick number 493. Let's see, continuing to look here, Rigler made K-State's history by throwing the ninth no-hitter in program history earlier this season or this past season, so that was a pretty awesome accomplishment. Mitch, I believe you were on hand for that game, were you not? Were you there?
Yes.
The Rigler no-hitter? That was a pretty cool thing. So good for K-State getting some guys into the professional ranks, and we'll see if any of them can climb up the ladder and eventually make it to the major leagues. Going to our next break here on hour two of the show, again, following the big news that broke about a half an hour ago, Isaiah Maurice no longer on the K-State men's basketball team, dismissed from the team for a violation of team rules. Also continuing to monitor the severe weather. I believe that Mitch will have another update for you on that on the other side of this break. When we come back, one of the best commercials I've heard lately featuring a guy that I didn't really want to hear from again. That's next on The Game. Thank you very much, Mitch, keeping a close eye on that weather. It gets closer and closer to the Manhattan area. Nothing severe in Manhattan right now, but if things continue as they have been tracking in the last 20 minutes or so, I think here within the next half an hour, we may have some activity here. So make sure you keep it locked right here, newsradiokman.com. Before we get interrupted by some kind of a weather warning situation, let's go ahead and get this audio out there. An ad for Foot Locker that's now on TV celebrating Father's Day. It's kind of celebrating how close the NBA draft is to Father's Day this year, with a lot of potential draft picks talking about their dads. But you'll hear one of the players kind of talking in a little bit different context about his own dad. That would be Lonzo Ball, and of course LeVar Ball, his father, has made so many headlines over the past few months with all of the insane things that he says and does. But I think the humor was really awesome here with Lonzo Ball doing this ad for Foot Locker. And here's the audio.
With Father's Day and the draft so close together, Foot Locker asked us to reflect on everything dads do for us
on our journeys to the NBA.
Dads are special. So many memories.
All those games of one-on-one in the driveway where he let me win. Just never missing a game.
Of course, there's that big day when your dad berates your high school coach in front of an entire crowd for not getting you enough touches.
Waking up early to drive to all those faraway tournaments.
Or that special moment when your dad sits you down and tells you where you're going to college. Copyrights your name to make it a part of a family lifestyle brand. Went on First Take and shouted back and forth with Stephen A. Smith about how you're already better than the reigning league MVP. All those interviews from the stands during college games. The public spats with the all-time greats. Soundbite after soundbite to the national media. And then tells 29 out of 30 teams to not bother drafting you.
And fishing. We went fishing a lot.
Pretty funny stuff there from Lonzo Ball talking about his dad. And some also heartwarming stuff from other players that are getting drafted. But
big baller brand getting some... getting some TV time.
I stick to this. I hope they sell zero shoes. Zero shoes.
I heard they've already sold some, but not very much.
They should not be selling them for $500.
Number, no.
That is ridiculous. I was kind of joking when I said, let's get that audio out of the way before we get interrupted by a warning. But sure enough, we now have one. I don't know. I've got the text in front of me. Do you want to go?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and tell you there has been a new severe thunderstorm warning that has been issued by the National Weather Service in Topeka, and this will be in effect until 6:45. So just about for another hour, a severe thunderstorm warning has been issued for Riley County, Geary County, southwestern Pottawatomie, western Wabunsee, southern Clay, and Dickinson County, Morris County in there as well. So quite a large severe thunderstorm warning. This is in effect until 6:45 once again. Just about 3 minutes ago, a severe thunderstorm located along the line extending from 7 miles south of Clay Center to near Moonlight, 5 miles west of Tampa. It's moving west at 25 miles per hour. These are some very dangerous storms. 80-mile-per-hour wind gusts are possible. Golf ball size hail not been indicated as of yet, but that is a possibility. 80-mile-per-hour wind gusts is very serious as well. And this was radar indicated. This also includes Interstate 70 between mile markers 267 and 325. So once again, a new severe thunderstorm warning has been issued for quite a large area of our listening area. Riley, Geary County, all in this. Dickinson County, Morris County, and then portions of Wabunsee. That's the western portion of Wabunsee, southwestern Pottawatomie, and southern Clay.
This does involve all of Manhattan, by the way. All of Manhattan is part of this severe thunderstorm warning, and according to the National Weather Service, this single warning impacts a population of 143,000 people. That is a very, very large warning. The entire Geary County, the entire southern half of Riley County as part of this, but Manhattan, Ogden, Junction City, everybody be ready because you are under the gun with 80-mile-an-hour winds and golf ball size hail. All right, let's take one more break. We'll try to squeeze in You Can't Be Serious on the other side of it to end out the show if the weather will allow. Either way, we're taking you up to 6 o'clock. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.
Gosh, she's beautiful.
Did you hear that?
So, we'll open it up to questions.
Johnny Idiot Face over there is never going to bring you a title.
This guy sucks.
Cliff Kingsbury gets me hot and bothered, and I love it. There, I said it. That was from a man.
I'm a 4-3 wide receiver. Why should I play at Michigan?
You are?
That was a clunk. There's not much I can do about that.
You can't be serious.
How is it June 2017 and notable people and TV shows and everything like that are still falling for fake tweets? I don't get it. This is a tweet from a fake Adrian Wojciechowski account. You know, Adrian Wojciechowski, a very, very knowledgeable NBA insider. He's often the first to report on a lot of free agent kind of things. Well, a fake Adrian Wojciechowski account tweeted, LeBron will opt out of his contract in 2018 to form a super team and defend himself in L.A. league sources tell The Vertical.
See, that's the way they word that. It should tell you that this is a little far-fetched.
Yes, absolutely. Do you know where this ended up?
No.
It's not just a matter of, like, someone notable retweeting it. No. Around the Horn, which is a show that I love on ESPN, and yes. I was actually in their studio when they filmed it one time, and it was truly a great experience. It was awesome, and I love Tony Reale. They had a four-minute segment talking about this tweet, and they were talking about, you know, in the tweet it says, defend himself in L.A., so they were debating if he would want to join the Lakers or the Clippers, and it's totally fake. There's nothing substantial to it at all. You just got to look for that little blue check mark. That's all it takes. It's not that hard. But people are still falling for it, and today it duped one of ESPN's biggest programs that airs in the afternoon.
I fell for a prank a couple days ago because somebody put on Facebook that Whataburger is breaking ground in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And I freaked out because I love Whataburger, my favorite burger joint. And so I clicked on it, and it says, you have been pranked. And I felt like an idiot. Of course, Whataburger's not going to open up in Kansas City. Doesn't make any sense, really.
I would love it, though.
All right, well, I mean, we numerous times here on You Can't Be Serious, we've brought up promotions by minor league teams. And this might be the most, maybe crazy, not the way to explain it, but it's bizarre. Okay. It's something you never imagine a team to do. A double-A affiliate of the Miami Marlins called the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. They just changed their mascot. They are now the Jumbo Shrimp. Well, for instance, today, their big promotion tonight, $1 12-ounce beers and $2 24-ounce beers. I'm in. Let's go.
There you go.
Fly down to Florida. But it gets a little crazy on Sunday because Sunday is, of course, Father's Day. So they're going to have a special promotion called You Might Be the Father Day. Now, Maury Povich isn't going to be doing a live show or anything telling guys you are not the father. No, while fans enter the gate, they will be handing out free pregnancy tests to fans in attendance.
That is something.
There is nothing like taking your lady to a ball game. You sit down in your seats and you're going to say, honey, I'm gonna go get some popcorn, maybe some hot dogs. Do you need anything? Hey, while I'm gone, do you mind going to the bathroom and peeing on this stick? That is so bizarre. I mean, I've seen so many. I mean, it's all over minor league baseball. They do all these crazy things, either certain jerseys or weird promotions. But I would have never imagined something like this.
That's a great story for this segment, but I'm surprised you didn't go with this one because it's a little bit more down your alley. Are you a fan of Kiss? You familiar with Kiss?
Yeah.
Gene Simmons, you know, from Kiss. Do you know this story?
I heard about it.
He filed today to get the devil horns trademarked.
The hand
gesture, which is the exact same thing that Texas does.
Your pinky and your index finger in
there. Yeah, the hook 'em horns thing. Well, it's not sitting well with the folks down in Austin. Texas's president tweeted to Gene Simmons and says, Longhorns have been doing this since the 50s, more than 20 years before Kiss got going. So they don't want the trademark to end up with Kiss.
See, that's funny because Ronnie James Dio, who was a vocalist for Black Sabbath, Rainbow, he went solo. He claims his grandma invented the devil horns and says they started doing, the metal community started doing it before Texas. So, I mean, who knows what the true story is.
If I didn't know who Gene Simmons was, I would just assume that he was a wrestler from the 80s.
I met him once.
Did
I met him
really?
When I was up at the
Howard Stern
show. Yeah, yep. I met him my last day there.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, he just looks like a wrestler. Like, he looks like a, you know, one of those undercard kind of guys that comes out like Goldust and Stardust and is always decent but never, you know, never truly relevant in WWE. Look at that. At the end of the show, we managed to get a little wrestling discussion in there. I believe we're going to have another weather update coming your way at the top of the hour. We do have some new developments with the severe thunderstorm warnings that are in our area. Brace yourself, Manhattan. We're probably about 20 minutes away or so from these storms actually moving into the city, and they are very strong at this point in time. For John Kurtz and Mitch Fortner, I'm Tyler Dreiling. We'll talk to you tomorrow on The Game.